Hello, everybody. Welcome. I just dropped all the papers on the floor. We need that. Okay, so here we are. We're talking about Ukraine today. We want to know what you think. Secretary of State John Kerry was in Kiev today, where nearly 100 anti-government protesters were gunned down last month. The Obama administration has already announced a $1 billion energy subsidy package for Ukraine, and Kerry told Ukrainians that Obama is planning more assistance. U.S. officials traveling with Kerry say that Obama administration is considering slapping Russia with unspecified economic sanctions. As soon as this week, members of Congress say they're preparing legislation that would impose sanctions. But Russia's Vladimir Putin says he won't be deterred by economic sanctions from the West, and he argues the Russian military presence in Crimea is for their protection, the Crimean. As we wait for the developments in Eastern Europe, what do you think will happen? Is war on the horizon? How big could this get? Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, and we want to hear from you. Of course, you can let us hear from you at a lot of different ways. At the bottom of today's show page of the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. You can comment today's Vox Pop wall, post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, and you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. That's the way I think you ought to do it. Just email us at wamcvoxpop@wamc.org. Okay, so what do you think? What do you think, Ron? Hey, Ron, what do you think?
Hi there.
Hey.
Hi. I think that he's justified in doing what he is because of, number one, national strategic importance.
Who's the he? I'm sorry.
Putin.
Putin. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I think Crimea is of national strategic importance for a couple of reasons.
All right.
One of them is that NATO and the U.S. have been, under the disguise of defensive missile shield, have been surrounding Russia and China over the past 10 years or so, and any nation, including the United States, that had Canada, say, and Mexico with missiles pointed at their country would feel threatened. If the West gets a hold of Ukraine and NATO comes in and they're allowed to put nukes right at Moscow's front door, any country would be justified in claiming that, national security reasons that has to be protected, that area.
Hey, Ron, how come Putin isn't saying that? In other words, Putin's saying a lot of things. He was invited in. The last elected president invited him in. He'd never let the Russian population get beat up on and all of the rest. But why isn't he talking about the nukes?
He has. If you Google Putin Munich meeting, he talked about it with the world leaders, I guess it was a couple of years ago. It's on YouTube.
Well, I know, but in fact, Obama, who has lessened that deterrence, is getting a lot of criticism for having given away the store.
Right. One thing is we don't get the full story, in this country because it's Western. One-sided type of...
But why isn't Putin saying it now? If that's the case, why isn't he saying it now? 2 years ago is a different story.
That's a good point. I don't know why, but from my understanding, that is why he has drawn the red line is because of this incremental surrounding of Russia with mm-hmm. nukes.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you have to ask yourself, are the people of Ukraine going to be any better? It's the bankers that are behind, this push to the
West.
East now, but to the West.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Ron, you make a whole bunch of interesting points. I thank you for your call. Very helpful.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
1-800-348-2551. I want to hear what you have to say. 1-800-348-2551. Don't leave me sitting here without you. All right, let's go to Reed in North Greenbush. Okay, Reed, you're on.
Yes, thank you. I have heard one comparison of Iraq going into Kuwait, and that's all I've heard on the radio. I've heard no comparison to the United States going into Iraq illegally for no good reason. And I get to say, my son served in Iraq, and he knew why we were there. OIL, 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 oil. And what's happening in the Ukraine is simply Russians defending Russians. Right next door, Iraq was not next door to us. George Bush, W. Bush, threw the rule book into the trash, and it's game over, as far as I'm concerned.
So what you're making a point which I've thought about a lot, which is that some interventions are more important than others based on strategic interests. Yes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems
and,
to me.
And there was no reason to go into Iraq.
Okay.
So we can't, we don't have a right to say anything.
Well, see, I don't agree with you, but we have a right to do what we want. But I do think you make a good point about the oil. Appreciate it very much, Reed. Thanks for calling.
All right. Yep. Thank you. Yeah. Good luck.
Okay, let's go to Len in Clifton Park. Len, you're on.
Hey, Alan.
Hey.
I've been around a while, and what I've noticed is that when you have a really strong president with a strong foreign policy, you know, like Nixon or Ronald Reagan, we don't have these problems with the Russians. And Obama's red line in Syria that was not enforced, it just enticed the bear.
You think that was an invitation?
Absolutely.
So let me ask
you. Can't
you,
be weak.
But, you know, I, what I, would I'm you? Whoa, Reed.
I'm old enough to remember Kennedy getting perceived by Khrushchev as being weak. We almost had a thermonuclear war over Cuba.
Well, he was
because we had a weak president.
Well, he wasn't a weak.
Well, he was, and I remember the Navy embargo of Cuba. That was pretty stiff, right? It's the closest we ever came to nuclear war, I think.
You're probably right. Do you think there's any chance we could have been in a nuclear war over this one?
I don't think Putin's that dumb. I think Putin's smarter than all of us, and he's a real SOB. The problem is he's their SOB.
Well, he's a colonel, all right, of the KGB's.
No question. He is so clever. He's got the whole thing mapped out. This was all pre-planned, and we were sleeping, and we're weak.
Well,
we don't have these problems.
Okay, I've been asking everybody the same question. I'll ask you, Reed, what would you have done if you were Obama?
I think I would not have backed down in Syria and let Putin win.
Okay, forget about Syria. What would you have done?
No, that was the precursor.
Okay,
and
well,
he also backed, he all right. Georgia, if I recall.
All right, Len, then what would you have done in Syria?
In Syria, I would have gone ahead with the bomb and more coordinated with Netanyahu. Netanyahu's a strong
leader. What bomb?
I would have bombed him for
what bomb?
The chemical attack.
Yeah, but would you have bombed him with a nuke?
Oh, God, no. You Syria? No, no. We should use conventional weapons on his chemical weapons like we said we would, but we didn't. Mm-hmm. We let Putin get in there because Putin's got his naval base in Syria. That's number one priority for Putin. That's
well, there are a lot of people who have written, and some of a conservative stripe, by the way, that Putin saved our hash in Syria by negotiating the whole thing.
No question he solved the problem, and he made a fool out of us because we didn't know what we were doing.
Uh-huh. Well, okay. Hey, Len, I always like it when we get these calls. I appreciate it very much.
Well, just remember, Reagan won the Cold War.
Let me ask you a question. If Ronald Reagan were the president right now, I asked this morning, what would we have done?
In Syria, we would have bombed the chemical weapons.
Okay, and here? In this case?
I don't think it would have happened, and I don't think Georgia would have happened if Ronald Reagan was president.
Okay. Thanks, Len. Appreciate it.
You know, Afghanistan happened under Jimmy Carter, who was also weak on foreign policy. Weakness breeds an unstable world. When you're the strongest guy in the block and you're fair and just, everybody follows.
Well, the question is, are they fair and just? Thanks,
no,
Len.
No, they're not.
No, and how about us? Are we always fair and just?
No, we're not always perfect. We make, you know, we're sometimes wrong, but we always have the good intentions, I think.
There was a previous caller who said it's all about oil. You don't agree with that?
Oh, no. This is, Putin's going to recreate the Soviet Empire. That's clear. That's from day one.
I happen to agree with that, by the way.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't agree with a lot of the stuff you're saying.
The fall of the Russian Soviet Empire, the evil empire that Ronald Reagan referred to, that ended up in the dustbin of history, just like Ronald Reagan said, he wants to recreate.
Okay, so I think what's going to happen is that he's got Crimea, he's backing off now.
Oh, if you have a plebiscite in Crimea, they'd win.
Of course. Okay, yeah. Len, thanks for calling.
He's got the naval base, he needs that. But beyond that, I think we could not agree.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Eric in Burnt Hills. Okay, Eric, you're on.
Yeah, Alan, I talked to you last week about this, and everything I said, he was going to wait and then send in his troops, cut them off, and then threaten, you know, that he's just protecting interests of the Russian people in the Crimea area.
You aren't alone. Go ahead.
My thing is, you know, he is waiting it out just like we waited it out when we blockaded the previous caller said Cuba. But he has the pipeline of the oil to Eastern Europe or Western Europe up there.
Yep.
And he knows that is his trump card.
But it's also their, Eric, it's also their trump card. In other words, yes, he's got the oil, but yes, they have to buy it and they have to support his economy, which is a huge part of what Russia is running on right now.
But again, think about what he is doing. You know, like your other caller said, he's trying to rebuild his empire. He's not trying to rebuild it. He is rebuilding it. He knows we have a weak hand right now. We have cut down our military. We have a president who is afraid to do anything because...
What do you mean anything? What are you talking about anything? First of all, we don't know exactly what he's doing, but we do know that that the world is coming up with all these sanctions, and I happen to think that's why the stock market went up today, why the ruble is beginning to find its way again, because I don't think the people of Russia want that kind of an entanglement.
I think Obama dropped the ball by showing his weaknesses over the last couple of years where Putin stepped in and said, this is a man who does not care about America's stronghold and the credence of America as being the helping hand of the world. We gave Russia all these things when we became friends with them. We're holding military exercises. We're giving them bonuses of economic stimulus, and we're helping them with their nuclear program. And now he slaps us in the face, turns us around, kicks us in the butt out the door, and he's doing what he wants to do.
Okay, there are five phones. There are five phones ringing, Eric. You've had your say last week, this week. I'm glad you called. I don't agree with you, but I'm glad you called. Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it. Okay, let's take a break, and we'll be right back. 7 seconds or so. So stay right there.
Support for WAMC comes from the Honest Way Food Co-op, located at 100 Watervliet Avenue in Albany, offering local and organic produce, groceries, specialty foods, and more. Honestway.coop. Pine Cobble School, Williamstown, Massachusetts. This week, fifth graders are reporting ground observations of clouds and working with NASA satellite data. A good beginning never ends. PineCobble.org. And Norman Rockwell Museum, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, presenting baseball, rodeos, and automobiles, The Art of Murray Tinkleman, opening March 15th, nrm.org.
We're back, as I promised. Let's go to Mark. Is it in Hillstown, Mark?
Hillsdale. Alex.
Hillsdale. Okay, I got it. Go ahead. That's what I thought.
Yeah, so I think that there's some ignoring of history, recent and not so recent. When the Berlin Wall came down, we made a pledge to the Soviets that we would not extend our sphere of influence to the east. And then we let Poland into NATO. We basically went back on that promise. I mean, not to mention the fact that Khrushchev gave some of the territory now in dispute to Ukraine, never, of course, thinking that the situation would arise. We need the Russians for Iran negotiations. We need the Russians for North Korea. I think all of this warlike talk is ignoring all of those.
Mark, I think you're a very bright guy. I happen to agree with you, but I wanted to ask you a question. Do you think Obama's been weak?
I honestly can't say what I think about that on the radio. I mean, again, Alan, as you're asking, like, what's the counter move? What would these folks who are beating their chest have done? I mean, take us further to a confrontation over, frankly, an issue which is not necessarily our business. I mean, can you imagine if the tables were turned and we were talking about Mexico, we were talking about Chinese or Russian involvement in our backyard, I think people in this country would be absolutely up in arms.
Mark,
so I couldn't disagree more. And on Syria, one last point. On Syria, wasn't the right that was saying, I mean, look, you couldn't have gotten a war motion through Congress. I mean, people are ignoring the realities that we just lived through.
Mark, I hate to agree with anybody, so I'm going to let you go. Thanks for calling. Okay. Let's go to 1-800-348-2551. That leaves one free phone. Let's go to May in Massachusetts. May, you're on. Is it May?
Is it Mary Power?
Oh, Mary. Okay, you're on, Mary. Go ahead.
Yes. Yes, well, I just wanted to support the president being reasonable, a man of law, of international law, before he pushes the button and gets us into military confrontation. I think that the people who are for Putin haven't looked at history, because this is exactly how you start world wars. I saw it happen in the 30s, and I believe that we have to be very cautious but firm.
Well, Mary, let me ask you this, because you make a good point, I think. When you say you got to look at history, remember when Hitler was moving in and nobody was doing anything about it? I don't support that theory, but just for the heck of it, I'll raise it with you. Go ahead.
Well, I believe that President Obama and Kerry are doing something about it. They're not appeasing Putin at all. They're going to use law and reasonableness in order to control him.
Okay. Well, that happens to be my theory. I also think that the Russians are in no position to have enter into any real major wars right now. And by the way, I don't think the Russian army is that good. And
no.
I think that the Russian people, somebody was telling me earlier today that my friend Meyer was telling me earlier today that there's public opinion polling of the Russian people would say only 15% would approve of a war with the larger Ukraine.
Well, I think there are enough people that are as old as I am that have memory of war and what it does to the populations that they're not going to want to engage in military action. And the next world war, the next war will be in this country, whether attacks on our infrastructure or, you know, and our grid and all this kind of thing, it won't be overseas. A nice, neat, tidy war.
Mary, I thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to Malcolm in Massachusetts. Is that right, Malcolm?
Yes, it is. Good afternoon, Alan.
Good. Hi.
I appreciate the show. In fact, I appreciate the station very much.
Thank you.
And, I did want to come out a little bit in defense of the president, not just, of course, the president, but all those who are willing to keep a cool head and not just, send the troops out and automatically bomb stuff. I do not agree that Syria was, quote, some kind of a sign of weakness. I very much dispute these people who want to put this in that weak perspective. I think that they're falling right in line with a very Republican, talking point that's going on now, which is trying to, you know, get right back to the whole, you know, Democrats aren't warlike enough. They're weak on, you know, security policy. I couldn't disagree more. I think those of us who voted for Obama have been often surprised by how strong his security policy is and how in line it has stayed with some of the past administrations and some, you know, very warlike ideas and institutions that are out there. So, you know, calling him weak, I think this is just for people who are kind of falling in line with a false rhetoric.
Well, Malcolm, I thank you for your call. Sounds good to me. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Let's go to Jill in Waterford. Okay, Jill, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
I kind of want to agree with the last caller and dispute a previous caller with regards to, Obama supposedly being weak. Yes, he did rattle cages with Syria, but please correct me if I'm wrong. When he wanted to send troops to Syria, didn't Congress get on him because he wouldn't ask Congress first? And then when he decided to ask Congress, they would have turned him down anyway.
Yep.
Am I correct in that?
I believe so.
Okay, so, you know, I'd like to put the question back to the caller before. If Congress wasn't going to let him do what he, quote, wanted to do, then what should Obama have done?
Yeah, you know, in the old days, Jill, there was a sense that foreign policy should be an American policy. You support the president. But this partisanship that we see going on now has extended right into the middle of this. I think it's one of the most irresponsible things I've ever seen, which is that you talk about the enemies and what their perceptions are. They see this kind of thing, and they say, come on ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, nothing we can do, nothing we do seems to be right.
Yeah.
And I'm sure when Obama wanted to go into Syria on his own, if Obama's name had been Bush, Congress wouldn't have said a word about it.
Yeah. Hey, Jill, thanks for the call. We want to get to everybody else. Five calls. Thanks
okay,
a lot.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Let's go to Corey? Craig? Craig. Okay, Craig and Rhinebeck. Craig, you're on.
Yeah, hi, Alan.
Hey.
I don't think that talking equates with weakness. I don't think that we failed in Syria. I think that was, you know, it's working. It's working slowly, not as fast as people would like.
And let's remember, Craig, that we don't really know, I mean, at least I don't, who was on the other side. Remember that. In other words, there
right.
was always, let's get rid of Assad. But we've been caught with our pants down before by people on the other side who turn out not to be so good, like
right.
Osama bin Laden.
I know, but I was referring specifically
yeah, no, I
to
get
getting
it.
Rid of the chemical
yeah.
weapons.
Sure.
And I don't think it's weakness on Iran. I think that that's slowly working. It's much better than war. I think we are weak. He is weak on Palestine, but that's another issue. You can't equate talking with being weak. And to be short, and I know you have other people coming on, I think that a better approach on this thing with Crimea and Ukraine is to get the concerned parties together, see what their concerns are, try to address them, and work something out. And I believe that can be done. I think they don't have unlimited ambitions, for instance, that Russia wants to recreate the USSR. I think there are limited regional concerns, which I don't understand all of them. Let's understand. Let's have a responsible body like the UN. Get into these details. Bring the people together. The principles.
Don't you think Putin, though, I mean, I have to say, I'm not so sure you're right about this. Look, we're dealing with a former KGB colonel who really does need the... is playing to the people of Russia, the former Soviet Union. I guess I think that he would like some victories to show that they're on the move again. I remember you got a population that is anything but aspiring to democracy.
Well, here's the thing. It's
yeah.
what you think about him or what I think about him is speculation. Put it to the test. See where you would go with the kinder, gentler approach to begin with. If you put people up against a wall, people like him fight. We don't need that, if it's at all possibly avoidable.
And what happens if they put us up against the wall?
Well, take it one step at a time.
Okay.
We're certainly not afraid of them.
Craig, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Lee in Ulster. Okay, Lee, you're on.
Well, Alan, this is one of those shows I so appreciate you for, but I've been talking to back to the radio since it started. You know, I say two things. I mean, certainly the qualifier on Syria was the fact that we had created a lot of our own problem in Afghanistan, giving weapons to people who turned out to turn them against us once the Russians were gone.
A point I just made.
A point you just made.
Right.
And the thing about these particular kind of circumstances are, I love listening to these chest beaters. You know what I mean? That we look weak. That we look. It's a vocabulary that they associate with not being belligerent, and there is certainly something between belligerent and weak that is the place where we should be,
mm-hmm.
and the place that he tries to be. And I don't understand why these folks cannot support an attempt not to send somebody's kid out to be killed, you know, in some foreign country. What is their problem with a modicum of diplomacy?
God bless you, Lee. Appreciate it. Appreciate it and I agree with it. Thanks again.
Goodbye.
Yeah. Let's go to Sue in no, Sue? Sue's not there.
Hi, I'm here.
Oh,
no,
you
I'm
are
here.
There. Okay.
Hi.
Okay.
And first of all, I agree with Lee. I think, you know, there's definitely room for other approaches to this situation and strong military response immediately. I don't know a lot about Russian politics, but I do know from friends that are there often on business that despite the wall being down, it doesn't mean propaganda has stopped. There's an awful lot of anti-American propaganda constantly in the press. Putin blames their economy not on a poor Russian economy, but on the West. He also has in the paper, apparently, within the past several days, put that Kerry's visit to the region is an aggressive act, not something related to trying to calm the waters. Looking at all the corruption we heard about through the Olympics and just corruption in general, his background, I just think it's a big power play. I think he's trying to pacify some of his cronies in Russia and some of the people who have never really adjusted to the change since the wall came down.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right. I think that's right. Hey, Sue, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it very much. All right, let's go to Beth in Niskayuna. Beth, you're on.
I'm on. I think it's kind of a sideshow, but I got to tell you, Putin has gone to Egypt. He loves, he loves a good fight. So, and they're also saying it's a double standard. All the, you know, the commentators, talking heads are saying, you know, well, Russia's saying we've attacked, we've created bloody war in the Middle East, all over the Middle East. So, but in the long run, Putin can shut down those pipelines, and England paid off their World War II debt to us, so we got nobody on our side if we were to do much of anything. So I don't think anything's going to be done, and I think Kerry looks stupid going over there right now and going to the square.
Well, Beth, of course, you know, I treasure your calls, but while I disagree with you, I think it's very important that he goes over there.
But he's standing in the square. That would be the last thing I would do. I would go to my bases. I would try to have meetings with all the politicians across Europe. The last thing I would do would be go to that square. I don't think that makes them look soft.
Well, Beth, don't you think it's a sign of some strength that the United States is standing in that country? And, you know, for all these...
Sure, he should
wait,
go
wait, wait,
to
wait,
the...
wait. For all those people who are yelling and screaming that they're not strong enough, don't you think it's a sign of strength?
Just to stand in that square?
Yeah.
No, I don't. That's open to anybody. Any tourist, that's nothing.
Okay.
He has to go meet with the heads of state.
Well, how do you know what he's done?
Well, like I said, that to me, if you go meet with the heads of state...
Yeah, but how do you know? I find it hard to believe he hasn't met with them when he's over there. He goes to the square.
Well, the last place I would go would be to that square.
And you've made it three times, which is enough. Okay. Beth, thank you for the call, and call again, okay?
Yeah, bye-bye.
Right. Okay, let's go to our... Robert in Albany. Robert, you're on.
Hey, Robin, sorry.
Oh, Robin, I'm
sorry. No trouble. So first off, I am nobody's expert, and I'm not going to be able to tell you what I think the president ought to do.
Good, get
online. Yeah, fair enough. But I guess I do think, and I thought Lee from Ulster waxed the whole ball as far as the rhetoric about being weak. But I do think that you have to be asking the question, if you're going to be at all responsible in this situation, is Vladimir Putin the kind of person who would actually push the button and launch a nuclear missile or something for some kind of half-baked reason? And I would have to say I kind of think he is. He's full of ego and an urge to control, and he's got them. They're asking themselves, is Obama the kind of person who would do that?
Well, wait a second. You may be right. You may be right. But look, the ruble goes down precipitously. Our stock market goes down precipitously. The Russian people in polls apparently are saying we don't want any part of this of this kind of adventurism because they've got kids too. Remember how many millions and millions of people got killed in that Second World War, and don't think it isn't on everybody's mind. Would Putin,
sure, more of them than us.
Yeah, a lot more than us, and I think Americans have no idea about that. Because Stalin said anybody turns around to the officers, kill them. But I think Putin's going to do it. I just don't think he's got it in him to be self-destructive. Would the North Korean guy do it? Absolutely, in my mind.
Right. I would like to hope that you're right.
Yeah.
At the same time, I guess I think now is a great time for the American president not to be thinking about the polls or even about his legacy at all, actually,
yep.
Let alone what Len thinks about him. But I do want to see him playing carefully here. As disturbing as the situation in the Ukraine is, as alarming as Russian sudden behaviors are, there are equally monstrous and disturbing things going on in a lot of countries around the world. You know, I guess I have a little sympathy for a certain amount of Washingtonian isolationism right about here. At the same time, I agree with you. I do think Kerry should be there. I think we should be in there and talking to people. If anything, maybe for us to have done any saber rattling in the beginning was a step too far. I have a 7-year-old daughter, and I often find myself in that position. I say, if you do that one more time, and then she does it one more time. And that's where Obama is.
You're a very bright guy, Robert. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. We will be right back. I mean, seconds away.
Support for WAMC comes from Berkshire Co-op Market, Great Barrington, offering organic and local groceries, working to build a healthy and sustainable community. Berkshire.coop. High Meadow School, Stone Ridge, New York, hosting a Sustainable Living Fest Saturday, March 29th, with masterclasses, kids demos, local foods, electric Cullen 10 concert, and more. HighMeadowSchool.org. And Friends of Chamber Music, presenting the Windscape Quintet, performing Music from the Roaring Twenties, 7 p.m. on Friday, March 14th at the Emma Willard School in Troy. FriendsofChamberMusic.org.
I told you we'd be right back. We got five people on the phone. We're going into the lightning round. Be as fast as you possibly can. Let's go to Paul in Albany. Okay, Paul in Albany, you're on.
Hi. I want to say that Secretary Kerry's visit to Kiev is a very bold move, and I kind of admire it. I just hope that they have some kind of follow-up plan of what they want to achieve by him going there.
Yeah, well, Paul, let me go back with you on that. And what do you think our eventual goal is here? It's an excellent point you're making. Should it be that we want them to get out of where they are, or should it be that we want to get them to leave the rest of Ukraine alone?
I think it should be the latter. We should be trying to let them get rid, leave the rest of Ukraine alone. Because if you look at Putin's legacy, he moves into these countries where there's a lot of ethnic Russians. He did it in Chechnya, he did it in Georgia, and he's going to do it in Ukraine. I don't like Putin, but he's kind of followed a logic. I don't think he's a crazy nut who's going to push a nuclear bomb on us, and I think he said in interviews that the breakup of the Soviet Union was a catastrophe. That's his mindset.
Well, he's a KGB man. What do you thought? What talking about? Of course. Yeah.
One other thing. I don't see how Obama is weak with any of this. How is he supposed to control any of this? What was he supposed to do in Syria? Help the Al-Qaeda people who are fighting against Assad? I mean, that's just the people who really don't like Obama just seem to have that rhetoric.
Frankly, if I have any criticism of Obama at all, it is in Syria, because I am so aware of who's on that other side, as you are, Paul. Thank you for the wonderful call. Appreciate it, as always.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Bob in Troy. Bob in Troy, you're on.
Hi. You know, I happen to think that President Obama is a strong president. He's using intellect instead of strength. I believe that he's lining up.
Whoa. I can't let that go by. Don't you think that intellect and strength are often the same thing?
Well, there's brute force, what I'm getting at. Because I think he's talking with our allied nations as to what their suggestions might be. I don't think the Russians or the Americans want a nuclear war. The Russians have seen what can happen where they had that radiation leak. We're seeing what's happening in Japan now because of radiation. I don't think anybody wants that to go on in their own country, never mind forcing somebody else's country. And that would be the end of it, people seeing what radiation can do.
Okay, what else you got, Bob? What else you got? We're in the lightning round. Go ahead.
Well, I think that these people that are calling it an oil war are far wrong. I believe this is a war about people's personal rights and spaces, and I don't think we or the Russians have the right to infringe on anybody else's politics.
Okay, Bob, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much.
Bye.
Bye. Let's go to Dave in Hoosick Falls, 1-800-348-2551. One free phone. Go ahead, Dave.
Hi, Dan here from Hoosick Falls.
Dan, I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's all right. I think one thing that hasn't been mentioned, and I've been listening to all these people, is that Putin is due to launch his Eurasian Union, if you will, I think next year, isn't it?
I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
Isn't Putin due to one thing that hasn't been mentioned is the whole Eurasian Union that Putin is due to launch, I believe, at the beginning of 2015. And there's no good options for Vladimir Putin in this whole thing. I think that's what everybody forgets. I think everyone thinks that he has the upper hand in this whole thing, and certainly he does militarily and stuff, but he's stuck between a rock and a hard place also. He's supposed to launch this Eurasian Union, which is, my understanding, is supposed to be a direct competitor to the European Union and the American dollar, euro, those kind of things. Without the Ukraine, it looks like a club of dictators. I mean, what is it, Kazakhstan, Belarus, and Russia? You know, so without the Ukraine and its 46 million people, Vladimir Putin's dream of the Eurasian Union, a.k.a. the Soviet Union.
Now, that's interesting. So you made a good point. Now, the question is, if he can't do without it, what does he do to get it?
He may not have very many good options. Let's face it. Everyone thinks that Putin just rolled in there and he doesn't really care, but he does. He just spent $56 billion on a Winter Olympics as a PR stunt to show the world this is not the Soviet Union anymore. This is the new Russia. That was basically it was the biggest waste of $56 billion in the history of mankind. There's not a person talking about today about how Russia is the great, you know, look at the Olympics, look what they did. They're all talking about them invading another country. So it was a complete waste. So anybody that thinks that Putin is not concerned about his image worldwide, it doesn't understand why he spent $56 billion.
Okay, but the thing about dictators, would-be dictators always, is that they have to always be looking over their shoulders. Even Khrushchev and the other guys, they all get kicked out, you know, sooner or later. So he's looking at what people in his country think. Isn't that something to be considered here?
Absolutely, but you saw what happened, and within one day, what did the ruble fall, like 10%?
Not only the ruble, like, but as I've been saying all day long, one guy called and told me it was 15% approval of going into Ukraine by the Russian people in a public opinion survey.
Absolutely, if you get the real opinion polls, because I'm sure whatever's released by the Russian media is...
No, I don't think that's the way it was. You know, there are polling organizations over there. Yeah.
And don't forget, you were talking about World War II. Well, let's talk about more recently how many people died in Chechnya. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a brutal, brutal, nasty conflict that's still, to some degree, simmering and still going a little bit, not as much as obviously what it was in the 1990s. And even in Chechnya, I mean, Chechnya is predominantly, it's almost homogeneously Chechens. It's not Russians.
Okay,
and
Dan.
And they went in
Dan,
there to keep control, you know?
Dan, good call. But again, lightning round, I want to try to get everybody in. Okay, Dan?
All right, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Yep. All right, let's go to Lena is it Lena in Albany?
Hello?
Hey.
Hello?
Hello,
hey,
are you there?
Hi. Yes, I'm there. Can you hear me?
Yes, very much.
Okay. I just want to, and I'm not a fan of Vladimir Putin by any stretch, but here's my question. He actually goes into Crimea. Well, his military was there anyway all along, so it's not like he's throwing a lot of military action there right away. But he is there, and the Crimea happens to have 60% Russian ethnic Russian population.
Okay, so your point is it's legitimate, right? You're saying that Putin had a legitimate reason.
I'm saying he was. Everything played right in his hands because. If they're saying that the government who asked him to intervene and protect Russian population in Crimea is legitimate, then how is people in Kiev legitimate? They certainly did not impeach Yanukovych, and they certainly did not elect a new government. Who is this person talking to Kerry anyway? Who elected him, I want to know. And if it comes to that, if the United States is so much against the intervention or whatever they call it, he goes to the place where there's 60% of population is ethnic Russians.
Okay, no, 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 that's the third time. Lena, Lena, you don't go around the first. No, 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 I make the rules. You don't, this is not the third time. You made your point. Now, I want to ask you a question. If you were living in Crimea right now, would you be supporting Putin?
I have family there, and they do support Russia.
That's not the question I asked you. I asked you what you would be doing.
That's a hard question to answer.
Well, why is it so hard? You came on. You've been supporting, you know, Putin's right to go in with all of the Russians and everything else. When I ask you the question, you say, I can't answer that. How come?
I might, because the way people feel about the new Ukrainian power, saying that the Russian language is not legitimate anymore, that was one of the first laws that they adopted.
That's true.
Really scared people.
Really stupid.
Really did scare people.
Yeah.
And they feel that Russia can protect them. And how? Who can blame them?
Yeah. Okay, Lana, you made your point. I appreciate it very much. Call again, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's go to Robert in Albany. Robert in Albany, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
So far, so good.
Yeah, we talked about this last week, but I know you don't have much time, so I guess I'd like you to say something about what I see. I wanted to ask if you would you if I know that the action's already been taken, and it's more about that the United States has to act like a statesman, the leaders of the United States. It's not about politics. It's about whether it was good or bad. The country was invaded. Even though there's no government in Ukraine, the Ukraine gave up their leadership. They all left. The president ran out of there, and the leaders of the country ran out of there. So,
wait a second. Robert, you might run too if you know it was your life or running.
No, I just want to finish what I'm saying, please. I'm not trying to be rude to you, sir. I guess that what matters is you don't have to handle it the right way. Like when we had the Berlin blockade of Berlin, there was an airlift first. That basically the United States, we need to do something that we don't have to. You know, we need to do some of. In order to the people are there.
Robert, we do. We have very little time, but let me ask you this: what would you do?
I'll try to answer you. But what I do, I wouldn't go to war with Russia. I would not go to war with Russia. I would not.
Okay, no. But what would you do? I mean, you said, sir. No, stop with the sir stuff. But, let me ask you this: if you were in fact, following up on what you just said, you said the Berlin air crisis and the rest of the stuff. What would you do? I mean, is there a similar thing, a parallel to the Berlin?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's my view of it. Half the country is wanted to be part of the European. They want to be their own thing. That rose of half the Ukraine wanted to be, and the other half is going to Russia. So it's like split.
No, I don't think it is split. But go
well, that's
ahead.
How it looks to be.
No,
what I'm saying is,
it may look that way, but it. But,
let me try to answer your question. Okay. I really try. That what would I do is, I would probably at least I would do what they did during the Berlin airlift. I would airlift stuff to the people that wanted to have their own. The ones that in the west of
like
Ukraine.
What? Would you send them guns? Would you send them guns in the Crimea?
Yes, I would.
Well,
and also I would send them food.
Yeah. Well, I think that might escalate things a little bit.
Well, but what about the Berlin airlift? Can you talk about that?
Well, that's different. I mean, you had the Soviet Union surrounding surrounding Berlin, and that was a different story. I don't know that there's a real parallel here.
Well, they're in there. They took the airports.
They did. But I don't know that the population is opposed to them. On the contrary, I think that the Russian majority there.
It's complicated because there's no official government there. It's very complicated.
Well, no, we know that it's complicated. Robert, I don't want to be rude because if I am, the other. Thank you. Appreciate
I understand.
It. Yeah. Okay, great. Okay, let's go to Joe and Lee. Joe and Lee, go ahead.
Hi, Alan. I just don't get it, you know. I don't get the whole thing.
Okay, yeah, but you got to make a point because we're in
the Yeah, it's coming right now. You know, God, I've been on hold for so long I forgot it. I just wanted to say that Russia is our ally. They're supposed to be our friends.
Yes, so?
Well, why is this all such a big deal in this country right now? Why is it us against Russia? And why did all this happen in the middle of the Olympics?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Obama threw mud and Putin threw mud in Obama's eye three times. You know, what are we doing? Trying to get back at him?
Well, I don't know. Hey, Joe,
I just don't get it.
Okay, Joe, you made your point. You don't get it, and I respect that. Thank you so much. Let's go to Sergio in Colony. Okay, Sergio, you're on.
Hello, Alan. Thank you for taking my call. I was watching some of the goings-on at CPAC this past last night, and it just really strikes me as something really terrible that, you know, the GOP, once again, they're banging the drums for war, just like they did for Iraq and just like they did for Afghanistan, and they're pointing the finger saying, we're going to be weak because we don't invade. And my question is, you know, haven't we learned our lesson from that?
Well, I don't Sergio, I don't know that they all want to invade. I know that McCain is making those kinds of
noises. McCain's out there. Yeah. The GOP, at CPAC, you know, they're calling Obama weak because he doesn't want to, you know, take on Putin.
No, they're calling him weak because they don't want him there. That's why they're calling him weak. Yeah. Yeah.
They don't want Obama, but they're, you know, but on the other side, they're saying, well, you know, Obama's not taking action. And my question is, you know, where do we get the money to take on the Russians?
All the others who have called Sergio, I couldn't agree with them more when they say this is a diplomatic guy. He's trying it first. If they go further, then we're in a different kind of situation.
I
have deep respect for what he's doing.
I agree with what Obama's doing. What I disagree with is that, you know, there's neocons and the GOP and the CPAC. You know, they're banging the drums again for war.
Yeah, we know.
We're going to take on Russia? Where do we have? We're laying off teachers. We can't get bridges built. We can't get roads plowed. And here we are. Here they are banging the drums again for war.
Sergio, it's always been that way. Hey, I really appreciate your call. I hope you don't mind too much. Okay, let's go to Neil in Albany. Neil in Albany, make it fast.
Hey, Alan. All I'm going to say is nothing's going to happen. This is a ruse, I think, based on what I've been doing some research about, because Putin doesn't want that whole Eurasia and stable with the stuff that was going on in the Arab world.
Yeah.
And he is having his troops there. If you start the mess, either you or Poland or anyone over there, we will be involved. It's just going to calm them down, and everything's going to be fine.
Okay. We're going to stop you right there because I want to try to get everybody in. Thank you very much. All right, let's go to Paul in Hillsdale. Welcome back, my old friend, but you have to be fast. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, the Crimea is a semi-autonomous region. It's still mostly with Russians. They have their own parliament, and if Ukraine had invaded it, it would be the same problem. So don't forget that it was ceded
Said that. We know Khrushchev and all the rest of it, you know, his hometown. Okay, we went all through that again. What's new here, Paul?
Well, I didn't hear that before.
Well, then you weren't listening. Go ahead.
Well, I guess I tuned in late.
Yeah, go ahead. No,
well, my point is this is a family squabble. You don't interfere in family.
Okay. All right. Okay, we lost you, Paul. So sorry. Okay, and that gives us a chance to get to Barbara in New Paltz. Barbara, you're on.
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, good to talk to you. I was wondering, why couldn't the UN get in there and let the Crimean people vote for which country they want to go to?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
You know, Khrushchev just gave Crimea to Russia.
Why'd he do that?
I don't know why he did it.
He said there was no good reason. He did it because he was born there. It was a little thank you present to his constituency. And by the way, I want to point out that the Russian, successors to Khrushchev just threw him out of there. So, his big thing was not only giving away the Ukraine, but his anti-Stalin speeches.
No, I don't mean the whole of Ukraine. I mean just the area of the Crimea.
Uh-huh.
That was part of Russia, and he gave it to them for no good reason. I've been hearing that on a lot of programs about this.
Well, what do you mean for no good reason? He had a reason. Maybe it was costing them too much money. I don't know. I mean, one of the reasons.
Well,
But the reason it's usually ascribed is because Khrushchev was himself from the country and wanted to do something nice for his people. Wouldn't be the first time, I'll tell you that much. What else you got, Barbara?
Well, I just think that, you know, the UN has come in and helped with voting before, and instead of going to war, if the population is mostly Russian and they want to go, then it's nobody has to argue.
Okay. Thank you, Barbara. Appreciate it very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. So that's it. We're just about out of time. I want to thank everyone who called in, and I certainly don't have anybody to apologize to because we got it all done. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Healthy Living Market and Cafe, working to support local agriculture with organic products, community outreach, and jobs, open 7 days a week at the Wilton Mall, healthylivingmarket.com. And the Interim Healthcare, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day so you or a loved one can stay in your home, supporting the Mohawk Hudson Land Conservancy, interimhealthcare.com, and Black Dog and Leventhal, offering the Black Dog Opera Library 2 CD set in Italian and English, featuring The Marriage of Figaro with libretto, blackdogandleventhal.com. Thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at wamc.org/VoxPop. Our engineer has been the great Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Dylan Buckley, who did a terrific job. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Shartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.